Hi, I'm Lisa. I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm really grateful to be here. I'm going to start my timer so that I kind of take a look at what's going on. Okay. I'm going to start with the set aside prayer, and it works best for me. Higher power, today help me set aside everything I think I know about you, everything I think I know about myself, everything I think I know about others, and everything I think I know about my own recovery. So I may have an open mind and a new experience with all these things. Please help me see the truth. I'm going to share what it was like, what happened, and what it is like today. I am going to focus on my relapse. Most of you have, if not all of you, have heard my story more than probably once. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time just in that backlog piece. But I really want to focus on kind of what happened in that space of relapse and what brought me there and where I am today. So, I've been in program for 13 years and 13 and a half years, to be honest with you. It's 13 and a half years, glorious years. And historically, I mean, I have a written memory from my mother in a letter of my compulsive eating around two and a half years old. So I was a compulsive overeater to start. My triggers have been loss, abandonment, and loss. And I have a tremendous amount of loss that started for me at age five and pretty much followed me all the way up up until 2007. I had a whole chunk of it, and I ate over all of it, and my highest weight was somewhere over 300 pounds because I stopped weighing because scales don't go that high, and I didn't want to know what I weighed at that point. My life was spent feeling self-hatred, self-loathing, pretty much suicidal ideation since I was the age of like probably 12, even before the second death happened on my 14th birthday. And just talking about the death piece, I lost six people in 10 years between 2010 and 2000 between 1997 and 2007. So they were really tremendous pieces for me. And I'm dealing with a loss today. So my friend's mom passed yesterday. And it's interesting how it's bringing up a lot of the same things. And I'm just putting that out there now because my dinner last night was a little bit larger than my dinner usually is. And I'm going to talk about that and my food as we go along. So I'm just going to dive into about 2016. So when I came into program in 2010, I'll start there. I was already a service junkie when I came in. So I was doing service at the group level. I was doing service at the intergroup level. And sooner or later, I was doing it at the region level. And I lost 100 pounds when I came into program pretty fairly quickly. Of course, I was pre-menopause. I was way before menopause then. So my food has changed and my body has changed since then as well. And that's also part of the recovery. So I was abstinent. I was happy, joyous, free until I decided to start dating. And as that was coming up, and I was overcommitting myself. So my ego was in charge of all my service opportunities. And what happened is I was also people pleasing. So you can hear all these defects, right? You can hear them. Apparently, I was not addressing them. I was addressing the food. I was still on a diet. And that's my reflection looking back now. I can see that. So I appeared to have this amazing recovery. And I did. I had really good recovery for where I was at the time. But it wasn't a sustainable recovery. I had a higher power. I was spiritual only in the places I decided to use my higher power. And to be honest with you, I really wasn't using my higher power around food because I was still in charge of it. And because of I guess because of the time of life, I could still manage with the type of food plan or diet I was on at the time. So I started to burn myself out. I started to get frustrated when I was at some of these service positions. I was running out of time. And the easiest way that I thought at the time to get out of all that was to actually pick up, because I still wasn't completely honest with my sponsor, because I was afraid to let her see that I was failing at something. So, I mean, my defects were just huge. This, the people pleaser, the still don't let anybody see the truth of who I really am, hiding behind all of this self-will. So what happened is I picked up, and then I got to get off of region. Yay. And I could just do service at the local space, which was fine. And you all know me long enough to know I've been doing service since I've come in here, at the group level. That's why I'm still here today. Because I've just never left the rooms, and I've always had a service position, which the joy of one defect of people pleasing and perfection is that I don't walk away from stuff like that. I was sponsoring. I was on the speaker circuit. I mean, I was just all over the place. But once I picked up, it was kind of easy to get back, but I started the dating thing, and then that's what started, whoa, all this emotional stuff that I hadn't dealt with. And I wasn't bringing my higher power into that stuff. I didn't even know how at that point. I had a higher power and I was praying, but I don't know that I was actually listening. And so what happened is the slipping and sliding started, and it was just slipping and sliding, not big time stuff, and then it would be a binge. So it was bouncing all over the place. I walked away from my sponsor, of course, because, I was embarrassed because she was mad at me because whatever story I made up that was completely inaccurate, because that's what an addict does is that's what this addict does is she makes up stories, and she makes up stories to fit whatever she ma makes up facts to make up whatever stories that I need to feed. And so I bounced around, and honestly, I'm glad I bounced around because I got amazing treasures from many of those sponsors that I poked myself in and out of. So I'm so grateful for every single one of them. But honesty was still something that I was still not 100% open with, because I really still felt held to some higher standard in my head. And but I was, I started to lose weight again. I was building a business. I kind of let the dating thing go because apparently I wasn't ready for it. And so then I really focused my energy on building a business. And while I was doing that, I left a corporate career. I got a new, I got certifications in new places. But what was happening is I wasn't listening to my higher power. I was still living a corporate life. I was still trying, my ego was still in charge of everything. It was, I can do this. I can do this. If I push hard enough, if I try hard enough, I can make this work. I can make that work. And I still hadn't dealt with all the grief that was still behind me. And what was happening within that is abandonment things were still happening along the way. But what ended up happening is I went ahead to really scale a business, and I went on a retreat, and I came back from, I was in the middle of the retreat when I actually just felt like life was going to crash down around me. All of a sudden, I was like, I don't have anything to offer anybody. I don't know why I'm trying to do this. I'm worthless. So I came back from that retreat, and I came back in a depression. I was sick for, I had a sinus infection for about eight, almost 10 weeks. It was in the middle of the holidays because it was just before Thanksgiving that all this started. So I had this like emotional crap going on, this ego burst going on. I was sick. And then hormonally, I had a resurgence of like a hormonal like attack that happened at the same time. So by January of 2000 and 18, I was full-blown depressed, suicidal, and close to actually accomplishing my mission. And at that point, I had let go of the therapy because I didn't need it. I was so much in self-will at that point. I just want to note, I never stopped coming to meetings. I never stopped reaching out to my fellows, and my fellows never stopped reaching out to me. So this is why this meeting is this group of people is so important to me. So what ended up happening is I knew I was in trouble, and I'm the one who sought information. There was only one single person in my world that actually knew that I was at this level of danger. And it was a person in program. It was one person that I trusted in program because I knew they had a program and a sponsor and were not going to get caught up in my mess. I couldn't tell anyone in my life because they would have been trying to fix me, et cetera, or I would have ended up trying to help them while I was still drowning, because that was what I've been doing for the last 30, 40 years of my life. So I found myself an outpatient program. And what happened is I didn't even get through intake, and I was ended up hospitalized in a healthcare facility for a few days until I was able to go back into that outpatient program. I will tell you, it is only by the grace of God that I actually survived the 3 days between each of those transitions where I was at home and alone trying to figure out how to stay alive for the next couple of days. So I basically didn't get out of bed for a couple of days. It was a scary, scary part of my life. I realized I had nobody in my life, and those were choices I had made by keeping everybody out. No one in my world had a clue that I was depressed, let alone to the level that I was. And I remember when my brother came to see me in the hospital, which I was trying to avoid him coming. They wouldn't let me. He came in, and the look of panic, terror, and confusion on his face was crazy. And that's when I finally realized, crap, I'm not honest with anybody. Nobody knows me. I don't even like nobody knows me. So that's a lot of what it was like leading up into my relapse. I started eating, and needless, I'll just say I gained almost 100 pounds in about less than 6 months. I ate with the purpose to put the weight on, finding that the weight in itself was what I was using for protection. I never left the rooms. I never left this program. I never left my higher power. I remember making a really conscious decision with my higher power, and I said, I need food right now because I have nothing else. I want to maintain all my relationships in a healthy way. I'm going to use this program to maintain my healthy relationships, and I'm going to eat. And that was a decision that I feel like we made together, because I couldn't do anything else. And honestly, I was like being a little child again. That was all the coping mechanisms I had at that point. And I didn't want to go back into isolation. I didn't want to go back into anger. I didn't want to go back into rage. So I ate. Once I put the weight on, then I stopped eating. Fascinating that it was, because then I had my protective mechanism on. I never left the rooms, and I'm going to keep saying that. I never left the rooms. I never left this program, and I continued to do step work. I continued to do step work, to the best of my ability. And I remember coming to meetings, going to fellowship, and then going home on my way home, and then just buying a ton of food to binge on. You know what? When I look back on this now, and so that was so. I don't remember when I stopped eating, but I know I can say a year. Like 5 years ago was when I was finally appropriately medicated and in some level of ability to function. And so that's when I ended up really with this amazing connection with my higher power, where I brought my higher power and I continue to do so into everything. Do I eat this? Honestly, do I take a shower today? It's sometimes, and most times, I have to bring my higher power into that level of decision. It doesn't matter. I have to bring them in. And my higher power has evolved tremendously over the years. It started out as the God of my religion when I grew up, which by the time I was about 8 or 9 years old, it never made any sense to me anyway. So my higher power has been an evolution for a long time because I didn't like the angry one. So I kept coming to meetings. I kept doing service. I was doing service the whole time as well. Just so you know, I just never left. But what happened at that point then was, I just started to work the program even more. And in that, it was okay, let's get to the step work. I was able to sponsor again. I went back to my original sponsor, and she's amazing. And I tell her everything now, even when I still don't want to tell her because I still have to work on that fear of being honest to somebody that I previously have put on a pedestal or see as a maternal figure or a figure of importance. Which is why I'm always reminded in this program that everybody's, and for me, I have to see it as everybody's at the same space, no better than, no less than. I am no better than you. You are no better than me. I am no less than you. And when I focus on the humility piece of that, and that is what I hear as a theme in this program, always being told to me, and that's why it's an anonymous program. It means so much from that perspective. So what have I done in the 5 years? Well, the first was, I don't know, the first 3.5 years, I really didn't lose any weight. I lost some weight over COVID. But I was just doing my thing. I had a food plan. I was following my food plan. My relationships continued to blossom. And then I started to really get into the deep stuff behind. And I was bringing my higher power in for help. And how do I guide this? How do I get through this? Just relying on them. And there's this line in here. I love this. It's in the For Today book, and it wanted to come out today. It's the December 22nd. But the first part of this is, never be in a hurry. Do everything quietly and in a calm spirit. Do not lose your inward peace for anything whatsoever. Even if your whole world seems upset, commend all to God. And then lie still and be at rest in his bosom. And that is from Saint Francis de Sales. And I remember the first time I read that, which was probably my first year of program, I remember even just leaning back. So many times today, I still lean back into my higher power. And I'm a tree hugger. So there's a lot of times I'm out there, and I mean, I'm a tree hugger. I wander around hugging trees in front of people. And I don't care anymore. But you know what? There's amazing magic that I get when I hug a tree, that I just feel this connection to my higher power, because my higher power has created all that's around me. I still do step work with my sponsees. I still do step work aside of my sponsees. I have a food plan. It is food guidelines. My food has changed over the last 5 years. How did I start losing weight about a year ago? Up until then, all I kept hearing all I kept hearing my higher power say was, you're not going to lose weight until you love yourself and the body you're in. I'm like, all right, dude, but it's really big. And how do I show people I have recovery when I'm so big? And all I kept hearing was, you need to love yourself first. And the more you love yourself, like, don't worry about it. It has nothing to do with your weight or how you look. This has nothing to do with your self-worth. And these are conversations I had, and a lot of these conversations take place in a journal. It's the best way for me, or when I'm sitting talking to a tree. So I always say to anybody, find whatever it is that connects you to a higher power and talk to it, even if it's just, also a little fanatic with crystals, so they surround me. But anyway, I'm really at the end of my time, but I just want to just share a couple more things. It's that It's that conversation. It's that tight conversation that I have. It's the rigorous honesty to myself and to everyone else. It's that all the steps. I don't work one step. I live in 10, 11, and 12, but I have to start my day in 2 and 3. There's no other way to do it. If I am not recognizing I am powerless over food, and I am powerless over food, my dinner last night clearly reinforced that. It had a beginning, it had an end. It wasn't a binge, it wasn't atrocious, but it wasn't what I had planned. And but I am not somebody who can have all these clear restrictions on what I can and cannot eat, because if I do, I will go back out. It has to have grace. And one of our beautiful souls from early on has reminded me and stays in my head to this day, I must be gentle with myself. I must always be gentle with myself and have compassion and see myself through my higher power's eyes. And when I see myself through my higher power's eyes, I am an amazing human being. And I never, ever could see that before. And I'm so grateful. So I am so grateful for this fellowship, because you hold me up. Even just by showing up for meetings, you're always here. I need this fellowship. I need the tools. I use all of them. And today, I'm sad. Something else is not going well, is not going the way I wanted in my life, and that is also sad. And I am happy. I am a happy, content individual in this program, in this life, in a way that, and I can see a future for myself, which I ever, never, ever thought I could have. So that's my story. I'm so grateful for all of you being here, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lisa, for sharing that beautiful experience, strength, and hope for us this morning. We have 20 minutes.